about a year ago when I just gave a single sermon out of the book of Esther on a Wednesday night, and then the next Wednesday out of the book of Ruth. But this time we're going to be going through a series through the book of Esther. And it's an interesting book, to say the least. It is the one book in the Bible where the name of God is not mentioned. And yet it's impossible to go through the book of Esther without seeing God's hand in the entire book, the events that go on. And you hear people that say things like the providence of God, or even other people talk about chance or luck or karma, those kinds of things. I want you to understand that without God's hand in it, there's nothing that really goes on. God is involved in everything that happens around us. And there are times that God allows us to make choices. And we'll even see that in the book of Esther. He allows us to make choices. And as we've said so many times before, that God allows people to make choices, and yet God has chosen to use people, even though sometimes we make the wrong choice. And sometimes those choices affect other people around us. But all throughout history, God has been involved in the major events of history. And even in the bad events, the colossal bad times that have gone through, that people have gone through, God has been there. And God has had His hand in history. And God has had His hand in those events. I've shared before where both of my grandfathers fought in World War II. One of them fought over in Europe. One of them fought both in Europe and then in Asia. And then the feelings that they had, both of them had this in common, that they struggled with dealing that there could be a God that could allow those things to happen. And yes, it is true that those events are difficult to let happen. And those events are difficult and hard for us to understand. And yet God allows men to make choices. And yet God's hand was still involved in those things that happened. One of the major things that came out of World War II from a historical standpoint is that the nation of Israel was formed. Even though it was formed out of Europe's sorrow of what happened to them by the Holocaust and really Europe's bad feelings about that, yet God used those things to form the nation of Israel back again. It's interesting how God takes bad things and turns them into good. Here in the book of Esther, God is going to take some bad people and use them to help and protect the people of Israel. Now, I want you to understand that as we go through not just the Bible, but through our own lives, and we look at the events that go on around us, maybe it's in government. I don't know how you feel toward the government right now in Trinidad. I was watching a news show today about the government in America, and boy, people are all upset about everything that's going on in America and how the government has done some things in America. And Americans are all upset, and they're all angry and things like that. You don't have to love your government and enjoy everything that they do, but I want you to understand that God's hand is on our government, that God allows people, yes, they make the wrong decisions sometimes, but God is still in control. And with that in mind, I want you to look at this thought tonight, that we must trust God's authority. You must trust God's authority in your life. But even beyond that, must trust God's authority in everything that happens to us. Do you realize that nothing takes God by surprise? Do you ever think about that? And not just say it off the top of your head, but really think about it. That the government that Trinidad has, the government that the United States has, it didn't surprise God. God knew that we were going to get those governments. The economic crisis that the whole world is going through didn't surprise God. He knew that was going to happen. And yet, He has chosen to put us in this time. He has chosen to place us here where we are today. He has chosen to give us the opportunity to serve Him right here, right now. And it doesn't take Him by surprise. The bad things that go on around us does not take Him by surprise. In fact, there's a possibility that He has put us here today, right here in this time, to serve Him in a special way. Hold your place in the book of Esther and look over just two books over, pass through the book of Psalms into Proverbs. I want you to look at this verse quickly. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. It says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." You understand that God is in control, that we must trust God's authority, not just in our life, but trust Him that He's placed us in a spot today. Even though we may not be happy with the way things are going with the government, we may not be happy with the way things are going with our neighbors, the people that are around us, that it didn't take God by surprise, that He has chosen to place us in a specific time, in a specific place, and now we have to make a decision of whether we're going to serve Him, whether we're going to do what He wants us to do, whether we're going to allow Him to use us. There's a verse in Esther. Many people argue different things in Esther, but everything that I looked at, and looking at the book of Esther, they say that this is the key verse to the book of Esther. I want you to look at Esther chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16. We'll discuss this further on over the next few weeks, but things are starting to come to a head around Esther. And as Esther's this really probably still a young girl, probably in her late teens, maybe early 20s at the most, all these things are going on around Esther. And all the fear, all the things that are probably going on with her, she doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. She's uncertain of the future. She doesn't know for sure what exactly is going to happen to her family. She doesn't know what's even going to happen to where she lives. All these things are going on. And look what this Mordecai, her uncle, says this to Esther. Chapter 4, verse 14. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth," listen to this, "whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." You understand that Esther understood that the time that she was living in, they were confusing times. They were dangerous times. They were times that were full of peril. And yet, she was able to come to the decision that God had placed her in that time for a specific purpose. And that she was going to do what God was asking her to do, whether it meant that she would lose her life or not. And I'll show this a little bit later tonight, that there's a good chance that she was going to lose her life for stepping out and doing what God was going to have her to do. I want you to understand that we need to trust God's authority over governments, trust that He has put us in the time that He wants us to be in, and that He has a job for us to do. Now, it may be difficult for us to trust where God has placed us. This is sort of an amusing story, a little bit sad ending, but we have a fish tank at our house, and our fish do not last long. And it's Ethan's fish tank. It's a little tiny fish tank, and I'm constantly going to a pet store and replacing fish. So, because I don't know what happens to them, I don't know if they don't like us or they're not used to seeing white people, I don't know what the deal is with these fish, but they die quick. All right? So we replace them, you know? There's a little bit of sorrow, then there's the joy of getting a new fish. Well, the other week, I brought back a fish. We call them a tank cleaner, a cleaner fish. It's a fish that sticks on the side of the tank and sucks on the side of the tank and sucks up the algae all over. And they go around just eating stuff off the side of the tank or on the bottom of the tank. Well, we got the fish that evening, put it in the tank, and the next morning, early in the morning, Ethan got up, and he came running into our room yelling, "My fish is in the middle of the floor." Now, that fish must have climbed out of Ethan's tank. It must have gone up the water line, the little line that blows bubbles in the tank, and just walked itself up the side of that pipe, fallen off the edge of the tank, and walked itself right into the middle of the floor where it had died in the middle of the night and was all dried and hard. We had a little fish funeral at my house, and we went on to see what's going to happen with the other fish, and then we'll probably end up purchasing more fish, little fish, but not that kind of fish anymore, because that fish was able to get out of the tank. Now, that fish doesn't have many brains, It's not very intelligent. Now, that fish could not trust the confinement that was around it. It couldn't be content to stay where we had placed it. Now, it didn't know that outside of where we placed it, it would die. It didn't know that as long as it stayed in a tank, it would live. But how often in our lives do we act like that fish? We couldn't be less content with where God has placed us. Now, that doesn't mean we should be lazy. It doesn't mean we should squander away the opportunities that God gives us. And yet so often, we're miserable where God has placed us. And yet God knows everything that was going to happen. He knows the kind of environment we're going to be put into. He knows the kind of things that would happen to us. And how be it that He could have placed us there to be a witness to someone. Or He could have placed us in the situation that we're in to do great things for Him. And yet we're like that little fish. We can't be content where we're at. We have to move on. And in that moving on, moving away from where God wants us to be, really, it ends up not being where God wants us to be. God understands. We just have to get to the point where we can trust Him and then allow God to use us in the situation that He's placed us in. We must trust God's authority. You must trust God's authority in your life. I want you to look at three things here where God had authority on. It's going to deal with Esther. And yet God is preparing a way. He is moving kingdoms. He is moving kings and queens. He is changing the entire outlook of a nation to provide for a place for Esther to save His people. You understand that all these bad things that could be going on, maybe here in Trinidad we watch the murder rate go up, that God has placed us here to make a difference. That God has a plan for us. Look at first His authority over kings. We need to trust God, God's authority. But look at God's authority over kings. Here in chapter 1, the kings, look at verse 2 of chapter 1. Let's go back to verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. That name Ahasuerus may not be familiar to you. We call him in history another name under the name of Xerxes. If you've seen that movie 300, that king, that Persian king, his name is Xerxes. That's going to be Esther's husband. He was known for not being completely logical. He was known for having a temper. He was known for throwing big lavish parties and drinking a lot. He was known for being very prideful and arrogant. That's the man that Queen Esther is going to end up being married to. And that's the man whose God is going to touch his heart to save his people. In fact, if there is any other king at this time period, this would be the farthest from my mind that God could use him. And yet God is going to use even his faults, God is going to use them to clear a space for Esther. He once had a bridge made as he was attacking Greece. If you've seen that movie 300, the Persians are attacking Greece. He had a bridge made across a certain point to get his army to Greece better. A storm came up and destroyed the bridge. So what he did was he had all the engineers that had worked on that bridge killed and executed to make a point to his next engineers. This just shows you a little bit of his mindset. We also look in the book of Esther where Haman came up to him and asked him for permission to destroy a whole group of people inside his kingdom. Haman brought that to him. Xerxes didn't think about it twice. Xerxes sealed it. Didn't even think about the consequences that it could possibly have on his kingdom. Didn't think about how many people it could, he was condemning to death. He simply signed it. He didn't look into it. This is the kind of person that Xerxes was. Xerxes' father had such a hatred for Greece that he had a servant come into him every day and said, "Remember the Athenians." Athens was a city in Greece. He said, "Remember the Athenians," because he had suffered a defeat there at the hands of the Athenians. So this servant would come in every day to his father and say, "Remember the Athenians." As soon as Xerxes' father passed away, Xerxes began to prepare an army. And he began to prepare for the destruction of Greece. In fact, some people think that this feast that he made was to gather all his men together, to gather all of his commanders together, all the rulers of different provinces, to outline his plan, to outline the things that he needed, to collect the money and the funds that he needed to invade Greece. That it consumed him. In fact, some people say that it consumed him so much that he let go of really ruling his own kingdom. In fact, he ended up raising one of the largest armies that's ever been raised, over 2 million men in the ancient world, to invade Greece. If you've ever seen the movie 300, those numbers where they said they could black out the sky and things like that, those numbers weren't exaggerated. He had millions of men to invade Greece. He was a little bit crazy about those kinds of things. And so we looked at that verse in chapter 4 where Esther's going to have to go in front of him to face him against the law. And you can understand that there could be a little bit of fear in Esther's heart. And yet God was preparing this king. He was preparing a place for Esther to be his queen. Later on here in chapter 4, there's this huge party. So remember, his authority, God's authority over kings. There's this huge party going on. And at the same time, there's a huge party that the queen, Vashti, is throwing in another place. And so the king, for whatever reason, calls for Vashti to come. Now, I don't understand everything that's going on here. Some people say that Vashti was going to be called to do something that was going to be embarrassing to her. Some people disagree with that. But whatever the case, Vashti refused to come before the king. She refused to come before the king. In fact, many people say that it was in her place and it was in the customs of that time that she should not have come. That she shouldn't have come to where the men were having their party. That she it was against the customs of those times. And yet, King Xerxes, because of the way that he was, his pride, his temper, his drinking problem, whatever it may be, he got angry with Vashti and called in his advisors and to see what they advised for him to do. I want you to understand that this was preparing a place for Esther. That we may not be happy with the circumstances that we are in, but it very well could be that the very ruler that's over us, the very, you know, those kings, we don't call them kings today, but those members of parliament, the authorities that are in our lives, maybe it could be even policemen or people that are in charge of us, maybe even our parents, our teachers, that we may not like, that we may not enjoy, that we may disagree with, that God knows that they're in charge over our life and that God has His hand on them. And it could very well be that God has placed them in our life to give us an opportunity to serve Him. And that God has placed us under that authority to give us an opportunity to do something great for Him. It's easy to be critical of the authority that's in our lives, but it's difficult to step out in faith and trust God that He has placed that authority there, that He knows what's going on, that He knows what is best for us. And even though it may seem like it's a difficult thing for us, that God has placed us in the time that we're in, that God has placed us in the situation that we're in, and that we should do great things for Him. So this king, he has his temper, he has his drinking problem, he has his prideful condition. He gets angry at his own queen. Probably it seems like that she was doing something that was acceptable, that she wasn't doing anything wrong. And yet he calls his wise men in for advice of what to do with her. Knowing the way that Xerxes was, the Bible doesn't say this, but I can imagine that if you're wanting to stay on his good side, you'd want to know what kind of person he was. And you want to give him advice that would line up with the way that he thought. So this advisor comes in. And that brings us to our next point. That God has authority over wise men. This land of Persia was known for their wise men. In fact, the wise men that show up in the New Testament to come to baby Jesus, to visit the house of Mary and Joseph, very probably came from this same area, from the land of Persia. And they were called Magi. And that's what this man was a part of that group, that the Magi would give advice to the king. And I'm sure this man understood that if his advice wasn't acceptable, there's a good chance that he could lose his life or lose his position. Xerxes wasn't known for being kind and sweet and considerate of other people's feelings. So when he calls in his wise men, look at verse 16 of chapter 1. Esther chapter 1, verse 16. This wise man's name is Memucan. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, "Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus." So he immediately gets on the king's good side by saying, "Hey, you know, what the queen has done, it shouldn't have just angered you. It really should anger everybody. You know, everybody would feel the same way you are. Everybody would have put themselves in your position if they'd had the chance to be in the same shoes you're in." And so what they decide to do is that in order to save the king's position and the position of husbands everywhere, now, I don't agree with everything that goes on here, they decided to really remove Vashti from being the queen and from being the king's wife. So Vashti's removed. They take her away. It doesn't say what happened to her. Outside historians believe that she ended up coming back near the end of Xerxes' life and actually was the mother of the next king in line. But it's hard to say who that was talking about in history. But it seems like the Vashti wasn't killed, that she was simply removed from being queen and removed from being the king's wife. And so Memucan sues Xerxes' pride and takes the king's side because he's very probably mindful of what could happen. And even though this wise man could have been watching out for his own back as he gave advice, that God was preparing a place for Esther, that God's hand was in everything that was going on. Even though this wise man's advice probably wasn't good advice, even though this wise man's advice was probably self-serving, it seems like that to me. In my own opinion, it seems like this wise man's advice was a little bit self-serving. That all those things that were going on in that wise man's life, that God had control of what was going on. We can look at today, especially with politicians today, how it seems like they are more prone to serve themselves than they are to serve the people that they represent. That they're more prone to watch out for themselves than they are to watch out for the people that they're supposed to protect. We look at around at different situations that go on today. I want you to understand that even if those people are in charge over you, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a parent, maybe they're more concerned about themselves than they are for you. I want you to understand that God understands that. He knows where He's placed you. He understands what's going on in your life. And it well could be that God is in control of a situation, that it could be hard to see God in that situation. It could be hard to see how God possibly could be moving in that bad situation in your life. And yet God could be preparing a way for you to do something great for Him. And this is what He's doing for Esther. He's opening up a spot for Esther to be able to get to the king, a way that no one else could ever get to that king. A way that no one else could ever reach that king. He is preparing to place Esther in that position. God was in control. And this idea is strong here in the book of Esther, that God uses us. He is in control. And when we trust Him, and we trust the control that He has, the authority that He has in our life, that God can use us to do great things. Esther was not really anything special. She was just a young girl. You know, if we were to look at her, the one thing that we can maybe say, well, she's probably pretty. You know, maybe that's the one thing we can say about Esther. And yet God picked her out to make a difference in an entire kingdom. I want you to look at the third thing. God's authority over empires. And even though there's not an empire today like there was here with Persia, we could equate that God has authority over countries today. God has authority over countries today. His authority over empires in this story should give us comfort that even as we watch the price of food go up, the value of our money go down, the crime rate rise here in this country, murder rates go up, all the things that go on even in schools today, the things that seem to be that like they didn't go on even 20 years ago, the differences that we've seen around us today, that God has authority and power over countries. And it is important to understand that God has placed us in the country that we're in. He's placed us in the time that we're in to make a difference in our country. And oftentimes we sit there and we complain, we criticize, we wring our hands, and we don't raise a finger to make a difference. We don't raise a word to pray to God, to ask Him of what He'd have us to do. We never pray for those that are in charge over us. We never pray for those that are in authority around us. We criticize, that's easy to do. And how difficult it is to pray for those that are in charge. How difficult it is to try to stand up and make a difference for God. And yet Esther's going to be given that opportunity. And like us, she's going to be afraid. She's going to be scared. She's going to not know really what's going to happen to her. And she's not going to know what's going to happen around her. And yet she decided to trust God in her life and His authority in her life. At this time, Persia controlled all the Middle East. In fact, they controlled the area all over Israel. They controlled all of the countries that were around Israel. And God was going to use that control that Persia had to shelter His people. And He was going to pull up Esther as just a young girl and really give her the ability to protect His people. Esther, there's no way she could have seen this coming. And yet God was controlling kings. He was controlling wise men. He was controlling even empires. In fact, right after this happened with Vashti, this king Xerxes did go and attack Greece. He spent 4 years fighting those wars. And if you saw the movie 300, you know that he ended up being defeated by the Greeks. He brought back his army. He brought back part of his army. The rest of his army was destroyed. And he came back to his palace. And as he came back to his palace defeated, I'm sure he probably missed his queen and his wife. And so he began to seek for another queen. If you look at this verse, chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is in the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign." 4 years later, 4 years after Vashti was removed from being the queen, the king comes back from battle. He wants a new queen. We'll talk about that next week. But we'll see how God has His hand on Esther. And I want you to understand, He has authority over empires. He has authority over our country. He has authority over this country here tonight. He has authority over those that are in power. He has authority over wise men. And I want you to understand that He wants to have authority in your life. That you have to give Him that authority. I had a Bible teacher once say, and I may have shared this before here, every test that we took, every day in class, he would say this. He would say, "Give Christ authority and spend time with Him." Do you realize those two things can make a difference in your life? Every Wednesday night, we talk about the Bible reading. Make sure that you keep reading your Bible. And tonight, we talked about giving God authority, trusting God's authority in your life.